Hey everybody, Hunter here. We wanted to do something just a little different this holiday season on One More Podcastle. Rather than listen to the three of us drone on and on about why my game picks are always the best, we wanted to give our contributors a chance to tell their favorite retro gaming holiday stories. So without further ado, let's begin with our boss, the editor-in-chief.
This is Eric Bailey, the editor-in-chief for OneMoreCastle.com and one of the hosts on the podcast. I don't remember what year it was, but for some reason, I was infatuated with the idea of receiving a Clay Fighter game for Christmas. You know how, growing up, sometimes there was that one game you were hoping was under the tree? Well, that particular year, for whatever reason, I really wanted a Clay Fighter game. Now, at the time, the only consoles I had were the NES and the Sega Genesis. So obviously, I would need a Sega release Clay Fighter game. So, in December, leading up to Christmas, we were at a family gathering, and sure enough, one of the gifts from my grandmother was in that typical rectangular shape that usually denoted that I was about to receive a new video game, which excited me greatly. But upon opening it, I immediately noticed that it was Clay Fighter 2 Judgment Clay, which would be exciting, but it was a Super Nintendo game, a cartridge I would not be able to play. I improvised, though, and feigned excitement, and politely acted very happy to receive this gift. My mom noticed, and she knew what was going on, and she kept up the act for me as well. But it was a bittersweet ride home. I mean, yeah, I should have been grateful for a great time with family and some other gifts I had received, but there's a special sadness to having a game you want to play, but can't. And I could hardly blame my grandmother. I mean, she was just looking for the title Clay Fighter, you know, Clay Fighter something. How can she know the nuances of different consoles and which one to get and all that? I couldn't blame her. But I was still kind of bummed. But, as you may have guessed and seen coming, there was some magic in the air that year because when Christmas Day actually arrived, under the tree was a larger gift. And I opened it, and my eyes widened, and my mouth fell agape. It was a glorious new 16-bit Nintendo console, the SNES. Now I could play Clay Fighter 2 Judgment Clay, and launch a whole new era of 16-bit Nintendo gaming enjoyment. That still remains one of my fondest memories.
Hello everyone, my name is Zach Smith, and I'm the author of The Completest Column, as well as a member of the Stormy Castle Writers Guild here at One More Castle. My favorite retro gaming holiday memory also happens to be a holiday tradition with my family. On most Christmas Eves, my brother and I play a Sega Genesis game called Toe Jam and Earl. Now, if you aren't familiar with Toe Jam and Earl, let me just say that the game just screams to be played during the holidays. The color scheme is bright, with many greens and reds, the levels are randomized, which makes for unlimited replay value, and not to mention Santa Claus actually appears in the game at random points, wearing a jetpack. Yes, a jetpack. There's no Rudolph or reindeers or sleigh to be found anywhere here. Santa is high-tech. So one of your goals for the game is to collect and open Christmas presents that he is dropping all over the levels. Finding and opening these presents, especially when you have no idea what is inside, can make for a rather hilarious experience, especially when Toe Jam and Earl are standing nearby and one of you decides to take a leap of faith and open an unidentified present. Many times, the present ends up being something like rocket skates, which promptly sends both of you blasting off into the abyss. I've laughed more at this game than probably any other game in my entire life. Every time we play it, hilarity ensues. It's just fantastic. Toe Jam and the Earl is a special game that even my parents appreciate to this day. We have, for nearly 20 years, played it on Christmas Eve. And while it has gotten harder over the years to keep this tradition up, as we have all grown up, gone to college, and have jobs and other responsibilities, we still do manage to get a game of Toe Jam and Earl in around the holidays when we can. If you haven't tried this game, grab a friend or family member and give it a try some Christmas. It will help you get in the spirit of things.
This is Tom Hall. I am the N64 connoisseur, and I also write Two Decades Late. And my favorite retro gaming memory would have to be the year of the NES. I already had the NES, and we came out on Christmas morning and did all our presents, and there was no games anywhere. So, and a little disappointed, but, you know, whatever, Christmas. And then my dad pulled one of his very famous moves. Hey, you going to finish opening all your presents? And what he had done was hidden NES games around the house, almost like Easter eggs. And so, like, one was hiding on the blade of a ceiling fan, and one was, like, behind the toaster in the kitchen, and they're all over the place, and that happened to be the year that I got Captain Skyhawk and Bases Loaded 2, which are still, to this day, two of my favorite games ever. So, that, I would have to say, is my favorite holiday memory.
Hello there, this is Adam, aka The Retro Critic. I write retro game reviews for onemorecastle.com. Now, I have tons of retro gaming holiday stories, like the time my friends and I stayed up all night playing Mario Party on the N64. That was on New Year's Eve. Or the time my parents thought it would be really funny to tell me they hadn't in fact brought me Shenmue 2 on the Dreamcast for Christmas, when really they did, and I started sulking until I realized it was all a stupid joke. But it was the time that I received my first portable console that really stuck with me. And the idea of taking a video game to the beach, something that growing up in the south of France I did many times back in the day, was inconceivable to me until I actually held that Nintendo Game Boy in my hands for the first time. I was given Tetris, started playing it instantly, but when I was given the game Batman, that's when it truly dawned on me. Now I could potentially fight the Joker and make sandcastles at the same time. Well, not really, it's kind of a hard game. But I played Batman the rest of the night, and I spent the best 8-bit Christmas a kid could ever want.
Hey guys, my name is Paul Potter, and I'm the author of both Fair Shake and What the F is on This Disc columns, as well as a member of the Storming the Castle Writers Guild here at One More Castle. My favorite retro gaming holiday memory actually concerns a PlayStation 2 and my father. I've come to realize that most of the gaming consoles I had as a child over the years were for him as well. He started out with the Atari 2600 in 1977. He was the first of his friends with one. Later on, we had a Nintendo, a Sega Master System, a Super Nintendo, a PlayStation 1, and a PlayStation 2. By the end of the PlayStation 2, but right before the PlayStation 3 dropped, I can't really remember, I was at a time in my life where I wasn't gaming much at all. We'll call this the Dark Years. Anyway, my dad was using the PlayStation 2 way more than I was. Around October that year, he stopped and said the PlayStation 2 broke. I shrugged. Of course, when the PlayStation 3 came out, I was mildly curious. For that Christmas, my mother bought the house a PlayStation 3, one of the old ones, with the big ones, with the PlayStation 2 compatibility built in. 3 years later, when I bought a house and was going through stuff to bring, my father said to me, "You should really check that PlayStation 2 before you throw it out or sell it on eBay." I said, "Why?" He said it didn't work. He gave me the look, and said, "No, you should really check it, it might be okay." Sure enough, I fired it up right in front of him and it worked. "Dad, you said it didn't work, what'd you do?" Then it dawned on me. He told my mother it didn't work just to buy a new PlayStation 3. To this day, he won't admit it, but we all know that's what he did.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm the president, the CEO, the UFO, the GED, the USP, the UPS, and the FedEx of GMZ.
And I'm Pierre. I'm the CEO, CFO, CRO, CPU, and ASS of GMZ.
We have two CEOs at GMZ, because we believe in teamwork.
It's true.
Anyway, we were asked to share our favorite Christmas memories. So, Pierre, do you have any favorite Christmas memories, even though you don't celebrate Christmas because you're a godless communist?
You almost said Kissmas, and I was going to get really upset because I hate Kiss. But I do have a couple of... It's hard to pick just one Christmas memory, so I think I'm going to share two. And even though I'm a godless atheist, we'll see.
You said communist.
Communist.
Godless communist.
Same thing. Yeah, it's tough to pick one. I'm in between two. One of them is when it came out, a few months after it came out, I got Carmageddon 2 back in 1998 on Christmas Day, and I opened it in the morning, and I spent all day playing it, and I beat the game on Christmas Day, like, from start to finish. And, you know, nothing says Christmas like running people over with your car. The other one was when I was younger. I don't remember what Atari game I got when I was six, but I do remember the next day my parents driving me to, like, this large building, and I was drugged and put to sleep, and when I woke up, I didn't have my foreskin anymore. So that was a pretty special Christmas, I think.
Oh, really? Well, I have kind of a similar story. Well, firstly, I have two stories as well. When I was in sixth grade, my brothers and sisters came back from college, and they all like to pretend that they don't play video games anymore, but we brought out the N64, and we all played Smash Bros. Just like we used to, where there was much hair pulling and name calling and all that family fun. And then the next year, I received four large knives, easily enough to slay a man, and, you know, I just think that murder is one of the oldest and most enjoyable games, easily a retro game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, I guess that's the true way to celebrate Christmas is to murder people, and that's why they killed Jesus.
Yep.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. No, 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 no. Motherfucker.
Oh, hey, this is Joshua Caleb of the Retro Hate Column on One More Castle, wishing you a happy holiday. May your days be Mario Foot free, and all your Christmases free of spikes.
Hi, this is Alex from One More Castle. You may recognize me as the guy behind Deported, otherwise known as the show that gets updated a few times a year. Or you may recognize me gallivanting on Twitter under the handle at Chronoslinger. And you can go ahead and give me a follow. Eric actually asked me to, asked all of us to share our favorite holiday memories, our favorite holiday retro gaming memories. I could tell you about the time I got an NES for Christmas in 1991, but it's a little too straightforward. Or Donkey Kong Country in 1994. Again, just typical, I got it. Or 1996, when I got Donkey Kong Country 3. All of them are good stories, but the one I'm going to tell you about today is 1998. In 1998, I was 12, which it's about, you know, it's almost, you're almost a teenager, almost an adult. You got to be almost to that age where you need to be not asking for video games, or at least that's what I started to think at the time. And I don't know why I didn't ask for a game. I think I did the thing where I wanted a game really badly, but I didn't ask for it. So of course I got a stereo system, a really nice one. I think it had a surround sound, or if not, it had like 5 speakers on it. Anyways, I got it, and my parents asked me if I enjoyed my gifts, and I said, yeah, they're nice. And then about a week later, I said, I don't think I can go a Christmas without getting a game. So I convinced my dad to return the nice $200 stereo to Sears for a not as nice one that was cheaper, and for Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, which is one of my favorite games for the Super Nintendo, and which happens to be one of my favorite systems, if not my favorite system. I remember it distinctly because of the circumstances surrounding it. It was just such a ridiculous thing to say, Dad, Mom and Dad, I don't think your gift is good enough. Can you get me something else, please? Oh, I was probably spoiled. But what else sticks out is that the fact that the game was $70, and I thought that Sears maybe price gouged us, but I talked with Eric Bailey a couple times, and he said, yeah, games were more expensive back then, even with inflation, you know, before or after inflation. I don't know how inflation works, but $70 is not an atypical price, asking price for a game of that era. So I ended up getting Super Mario RPG for $70. I didn't beat it until, I guess it was 2 or 3 years later. But needless to say, that purchase and that game hold a lot of special memories in my heart with playing with my neighbors. I mean, even though it's a one-player game, we helped each other out. I'd call them on the phone and say, hey, I'm stuck in Marymore. What do I do? And he'd come over and we'd figure it out. And as a kid, it seemed like the hardest game in the world, but it's not. It's a breeze. And I, shameless plug, I will cross my fingers, hopefully be finishing an LP of it with my good friend Nathan on, we're gonna split it between our two YouTube channels, so, follow me on Twitter and we'll, get a shout out.
From all of us at onemorecastle.com.
Have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas from all of us at GMZ.
Happy Holidays, everyone.
Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays to you all.
Happy Holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.